You're back with First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Live from the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Greg Frank.
NBA draft tonight in Brooklyn, and we do have her now. Kristen Peek joining us, covers the draft for Yahoo Sports on the Progressive Guest Line. Kristen, good to have you aboard again. How are you?
Hey, great. I'm happy to be here. It's a big night.
Yeah, I mean, so what's this day like for you? Obviously, you've been watching these kids all year, coming up with big boards, mock drafts. How's it feel when it actually like gets to draft day?
Oh my gosh, this is my favorite day, favorite night of the year by far. I mean, it's also my busiest, and yeah, you know, I'm on the phone constantly trying to figure out who's falling where, talking to a lot of teams, doing, you know, some media hits as well. But for me, I mean, it's not even, I've been covering them for a year. For some of these players, it's been 3, 4, 5 years. So it's like graduation. I love being able to interview them afterwards and seeing them all dressed up. You know, but it's the stress right now for these players who's not named Victor Wembanyama, and you don't know where you're going. But even at 2, I mean, we're hearing all sorts of things between, you know, now Scoot's favored from the new management over Brandon Miller, even though he's been projected for a while to land there at number 2 to slide alongside LaMelo. So we'll see what happens. I expect this to be far from a chalk year, and yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of movement.
You know, I just finished talking about how it feels like the international player has risen quite a bit the last 5 to 10 years in the NBA, and some of those players did come to America and played a year of college basketball. Others have not. Obviously, the G League Ignite option has become more mainstream, and I am a college basketball junkie. I watch more college basketball in the winter than I do the NBA, and I'll admit, like, when it came time to look at the lottery, and like most casual draft junkies, I was not as in the know with some of these prospects. I had to familiarize myself a little bit more with the Thompson twins and some of these guys. So I'm just curious how you see this trend going in terms of G League, international. Are things like this, where top prospects are routinely not college basketball players, going to continue to happen?
Well, we're going to see the exact same trend next year, I'll tell you, because there's at least 2 G League Ignite players and 1 international player, oddly enough, from France, that's projected in the top 5. So we're not going to see it go away anytime soon. Get ready to watch some G League basketball next year. They've got a lot of young talent coming in, probably 4 potential first-round draft prospects. So that's always going to be, you know, kind of like a different avenue for players to go if they don't want to go the college route. But I also think, like, there's the college game isn't going anywhere. I mean, there's players out there. I was talking to, you know, one of the top juniors in the class and in high school, and I said, are you considering the pro route? And he said to me, I told my mom I would at least go to 1 year of college. So there's players like that. College will always be the option. But it is a trend that we're going to see more and more of in the coming years, especially particularly next year's draft.
So you say that you think this trend of G League players and international players not coming to America for a year, that will continue. But I'm just curious where you think name, image, and likeness at the college level fits into all of this.
I think, you know, that's helping. And not only is it helping with that in terms of, you know, making players think twice about going the pro route because they want to chase the money. I also think it's helpful in the way the players are returning after testing the NBA draft waters. I mean, we saw almost 200 players return after the deadline because they know that the next 2 years are a little bit, there's a drop off in surefire talent and, you know, these potential all-star players and generational type players like Wembanyama. So, I think that's helping because you look at it, if you're a player and you're like, if I'm in the second half of the second round on a 2-way, I can make more money at the University of Texas. I can make more money at North Carolina. And so they're weighing their options and they're returning to school.
You know, Kristen, I'm also curious when, and this seemed to be something that was a European like school of thought when it comes to the positionless basketball and Wembanyama being this, you know, super tall, super lengthy player that could have a jump shot that went out to the three-point line. Was that also something that Europe was ahead of America on? And do you feel that just how young players are trained and developed now, whether it be in America or abroad, like this is just the new normal?
I don't know if it's a European thing or more of a Wimby thing. Like, he is just an alien. There's never been anyone or anything like him that I've seen, you know. And I called a lot of the color commentary. I did a lot of the color for the games that the NBA app streamed for Wimby. And, like, he would do something every game where it blew my mind. I'm like, what? He did something new every single game. But I will say this. I think it's not necessarily a European thing. It's the way that the game is changing. And if kids at a young age are starting to make those adjustments, if you're really tall and lanky, but you become a solid ball handler and you extend your game past the three-point line, you're going to be a threat. And we're seeing that with Wimby. We saw it, of course, well, with Chet in college,
yeah,
and hopefully this year, the rookie year. And we're going to see it next year with Matas Bezelis, who's right now the projected number one pick coming out. He's a 6'10", basically like 1-2 guard.
Wow. Yeah. So there's no shortage of opinions on Wembanyama and where he goes in the NBA and what his ceiling is. I'm curious, as somebody that's obviously watched so many of those games, you talked about the ones that were streamed, how do you pinpoint, like, if he's blank, that's a success?
I've asked him several times. I think the media, you know, they've asked him several times, like, how do you live up to all these lofty expectations? And he said the same thing every time. He said, I'm just trying to be the best version of myself. I don't know what that is yet. Nobody knows what that is yet, but I'm here to be the best player I can. I don't want to be compared to anyone. I just want to be my own player. So if that turns out being a mix between Kevin Durant and Rudy Gobert with the way he protects the rim and his outside shooting, then so be it. If he turns out just to be, you know, Kristaps Porzingis, then we were all wrong on him, then so be it. But to him, he's just worried about what he can control and what he can do, and he's excited to get to San Antonio and try to contribute right away.
All right. As far as Brandon Miller and Scoot Henderson, you talked about it, how there's been some back and forth there. As of this moment, how do you feel that goes, 2-3?
What I'm hearing is, you know, Michael Jordan is making the decision and he's on his way out.
Right.
But the new management coming in, they think that they cannot pass on Scoot Henderson and what he projects in terms of, you know, he can be the next great point guard entering the league. And so to pass on something like that because Brandon Miller fits better alongside LaMelo Ball, I think that's where the conversations are going. So I'm hearing that the new management is preferential, like they like Scoot, but Michael Jordan and the old management prefers Brandon Miller. So when I talked to Brandon Miller, I said yesterday, listen, did you get a promise? Did you or Scoot, did you feel one way or the other? And he said, no, it was all positive. And I said, okay, so when do you think you'll know if you're going 2 or 3? Are they going to call you ahead of time? And he said, I think I'll know 30 seconds before Adam Silver, you know, gets on the clock. So, I mean, I think it's going to be one of those up to the minute of when Charlotte's on the clock.
All right. Lastly, Portland, do you think they keep that pick? And if so, does it just come down to as simple as whichever player is still there? And other teams that you might you're intrigued by in terms of some moving and shaking? I know Orlando has those two lottery picks.
Yeah, I don't think Portland, I mean, the message coming out of Portland is they're not going to move that pick unless a, you know, star veteran, top 30 player in the NBA is put on the table to insert alongside Dame. So I think they end up keeping the pick. You know, you have to remember Portland hired former ESPN draft analyst Mike Schmitz as their assistant general manager. He's very familiar in the scouting space. I mean, I think for him, it's for that, when you look at that component alone, I would lean more towards them keeping the pick and taking either Brandon or Scoot, just because of what the talent projects this high at the draft. And, you know, you don't ever want to be the one that gave up on and then fill in the blank player. So yeah. I think they keep it unless there's like a major player that's presented to them. And, you know, it's going to take a lot. I think it's definitely going to take more than like two draft picks in the lottery to trade up.
Sure. Yeah. All right. There she is. Kristen Peek from Yahoo Sports covers the NBA draft. Kristen, really appreciate your time. Enjoy the draft tonight.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks for having me.